All right.
So we are. Okay. This is the Planning Commission meeting for Chelan County for Wednesday, May 26th of 2021. In response to the Governor's Proclamation 20-28, the Planning Commission will hold all their regular and special meetings via Zoom video conference until further notice. And there's Ryan. The first order of business is to talk about the meeting minutes from the last meeting, I think.
This is Doug. I would move to approve.
Second?
I second.
Okay.
Okay, if there is no discussion, we'll go ahead and vote on that. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign. All right, the meeting minutes are approved. Next, we'll move on to a couple of items. First of all, Catherine, I will want just a few minutes at the end of the meeting to go over a few things, ask a few questions. And so if we get close to 9 o'clock, which I don't think we will, I would just like say 5 minutes. We'll open it up to public comment period. Is there anybody? You know, I'm not seeing anybody. Well, I got a phone number here, but I think that's probably Mr. Newberry. Is there, Catherine, do you see anybody on here that isn't part of the planning commission?
No, I don't have anyone in the waiting room, so
okay.
We don't have any public tonight.
Apparently not. So we will move on to old business. Is there any old business that is not on the agenda? Hearing nope, none. We'll move on to new business. This is where we will be conducting a hearing for the text amendment in the agenda. So we'll start with, this is a public hearing on a text amendment for the Icicle Valley Design Review Overlay District, ZTA 21-196, and is being held in compliance with Chelan County Code and state law. We've been given the authority to hold public meetings or public hearings and make recommendations to the Board of Commissioners. We will start off with a staff presentation. Catherine, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good evening, Commissioners. I am joined tonight with Jamie Strother. She is our senior planner on staff. She's here to help with any questions you may have on this item. So this is a public hearing, as you said, and it's for a zoning code text amendment. So while this amendment is primarily a cleanup of obsolete language, it is important because it'll provide clarity for new development in the Icicle Valley Overlay District. So the text changes remove references to a design review committee because they haven't existed for some time and staff does the review of the projects. It adds an exemption for 50% expansion of existing homes, and it will place the existing guidelines into an appendix in the code so they're just more conveniently located. You will see in the text amendment, we use the word reserved, and that is essentially just to create a placeholder in the code so we don't have to renumber the sections, which might cause an inconsistency somewhere else in the code. So we're happy to answer any questions you have, and that's all I have for you. Thank you.
Could you put the map up real quick of what it pertains to? The townships?
So let me share my
Do you have a map?
She does.
I looked in the comprehensive plan and I couldn't find one there, but that isn't to say it isn't there.
There's a map.
In the comprehensive plan?
No, I asked her for it. This is it.
Okay.
I don't see anywhere where it's not Forest Service land in those yellow. That's the yellow areas are the ones that are related.
Yeah, if I may, Commissioners, So this is a map using our GIS that shows the overlay in yellow just on an aerial. So you can see this is in proximity to the city of Leavenworth. And most of these areas are actually zoned RR20, yes. I think it was,
and forest commercial.
So while they may on another map show that this is Forest Service land, a lot of this is in private ownership, and it is land that maybe has been surplused from the Forest Service. So this is just to help get you oriented. And I honestly can't explain why it's a checkered board pattern, why it's only certain sections. But as you mentioned, this has been around since the early 80s. And you know, I don't want to speculate on the reasons for the way the map looks today.
But it is essentially, I see there's a square that looks like it's, I can't really read the numbers, but the squares that aren't, don't have the lines on them, they're part of the overlay district?
No, if they have the yellow lot, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, the areas with the yellow hashed mark are what the Icicle Valley Design Review Overlay District applies to. So it's only in those areas with the yellow hashed mark.
I'm curious, can anyone explain why it looks like somebody threw darts at a map?
The checkerboard.
Chess the dots, the if you mean the little numbers, those are just the...
No, I mean, why?
Why is it checkerboard?
Why is it checkerboarded?
Yes, and I do not know the history of why it was selected that way, unless those were the lands where there were more properties in private ownership, and this was an easier way to do it. I would be speculating.
I did look it up. It's mostly in Forest Service. There was a point when the Forest Service was actually like opening up Forest Service for building, and they weren't going to be selling the land, they were just going to be leasing it, right? And so people were going to be able, and what ended up happening is that they opened up a bunch of land, but the only land they took was the lakes, which is here, Lake Wenatchee, and some of the rivers, and that's the only lands that people actually decided that they were going to look. So I'm guessing that's what this originally started as. Now I'd like to hear Joel's comments.
Well, I have two comments. One is, so I understand that you're getting rid of the design review committee. So there is some text language in the existing language where you have different reports to be submitted by different individuals within the county to the design review committee. Are those going to be changed, or how does that work?
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, Commissioner Walensky, are you asking within the overlay district there are references?
Well, I'm suggesting within the overlay, within your design review guidelines.
Okay, thank you for that clarification.
There are some references for different reports to be brought back to the design review committee. And I noticed that you're getting rid of the design review committee. Mm-hmm. So are those things going to also be struck?
Just to clarify, I mean, I'm sorry to interrupt, but you're not really getting rid of the design review. You're just getting rid of the design review committee. And now it will be left up to essentially the, the county assessor, whoever is actually looking at this particular permit, to make sure that all those things in the appendix, the Icicle Design Review Guidelines, are being kept. So, you know, I think that all those things that are required to basically make that assessment still have to be true. Is that right, Catherine?
Mr. Chairman and Commissioner Martinez, the guidelines will continue to be applied, and we will route projects for agency review, which is what we do today. And again, the committee, the last resolution I found, the committee's authorization expired back in 2010. So this is just so that we don't hold up projects for a non-existent committee, and we are able to keep moving forward, do the projects, do the review, streamline the review, and still honor the guidelines that were originally put into place.
I will point out that on 11.72.070, 2G as in golf, you do reference the design review board.
Yeah, good point.
So do you intend to take, should that be taken out or?
We could probably adjust that to say a house identification number in conformance with the standards in the design review guidelines shall be placed on Icicle Road for all residential structures. So just reference the guidelines instead of the board.
As developed by the board, yeah.
Right.
Well, I have.
Or simply strike the reference to developed by the board, because they just simply have to follow the standards.
Oh, that's the guide, yeah.
Consider.
So, go ahead.
It is not wrong to have that language in there, because it what was developed by the design review board, if we were to take that portion out, in conformance with standards, shall be placed along the icicle. It doesn't state which standards they are. And what this is doing is describing the ones that were originally designed by the review board. It made sense. Joel.
I see what you're saying, but I didn't see in the design.
Oops.
Sorry. I didn't see in the Appendix B a discussion of signs. Maybe I missed it.
Mr. But. Chairman and Commissioners, it's actually under the fire.
Private access drive.
And house identification. Private access drives. It's page 3 near the top, number 4. It talks about house identification.
Okay. I probably missed it. Page 3
of the guidelines.
Of the guidelines.
Yeah, okay. The guidelines are much worse than I've seen most HOAs put out for, like. Very strict neighborhood, so it's kind of funny.
Well, can staff or anyone tell me, first of all, why do we have this overlay district?
Let me pull up the standards for you here.
I saw a lot of discussion in the comprehensive plan about it under natural resources.
Mm-hmm.
So I got that, but.
Well, and it's the focus is on preserving this unique scenic environment. And that was really what the design guidelines are focused on. And so it's just trying to encourage and create development that is sensitive to the scenic quality of the area. And this was something back from the early 80s that came about, and it still remains important today.
Was this on our yearly agenda? Do you remember?
It was on the docket, and because it has the obsolete language, yeah. We felt it was important to move it forward quickly so that we don't have any confusion for projects that we're currently reviewing.
Do we know why the design review committee or board or whatever it is was deleted or
not renewed?
Why it went away?
My understanding, Mr. Chair and commissioners, I'm here. I had a late meeting at the office, and by the time I got here, I had to grab a quick bite to eat. So I've been listening, but I just didn't figure you wanted to watch me eat. But I have a little bit of understanding of this because when I was on the ICICLE work group dealing with water issues, and we had some infrastructure needs come up with regard to the ICICLE area and some properties that needed infrastructure for water. I think particularly I was dealing with when Joel Walensky was working for the city, we had, I think, part of their water diversion was actually within the overlay, one of the overlay sections. So we were dealing with how to comply with the requirements of that in the design. So there was some discussion. And my understanding is the initial design requirements were put in place with that board and that they'd never been revisited and that the board had basically become stale and non-existent. And so until such time as you were actually going to amend that portion of the code, there really wasn't a need seen to have that body exist. And because we weren't changing any standards, but if we were to change standards with the existing code language, that it would require that the board be reconstituted and then review whatever standards would need to be changed. And I understand it was a highly public process that created that board and that there was a lot of public engagement and public interest. I obtained that information from Mike Caputa, who was either participated in or was familiar with the history. So that's as much as I know. I just know we haven't been using that that body for anything with regard to that area. And we've simply been applying the existing standards when reviewing anything that has come forward. And again, my experience was just those irrigation related projects. Do you have anything to add that maybe Joel might be able to add to that?
No, I don't. I think your summary, Jim, is correct. The question I have two questions. One is just in the language within that, within the design guidelines, they keep referring to the design review board. And if there's no design review board, should that language be cleaned up? That's point number one. And then point number two would be, I think it, and this is where we got into the discussion with the ICICLE work group, was do public utilities and public lands that are located within the checkerboard need to follow those guidelines? And are they under the guidelines of that ICICLE Valley design guidelines?
So regarding
that question was never really, it was never really clearly answered. I think eventually the Chelan County Community Development issued a release on that, but I think if you're going to go ahead and change some language within this, I think there should be some language that says public lands and public utilities should be exempt from that design standards.
So I can't speak to the public utilities piece, but I can speak to the where the code applies piece, because we've had issues with regard to 8 Mile Dam and other things that we've been looking at from, I mean, I know more now that I'm in community development than I did when I was at Fish and Wildlife on this issue. And so I've had communication with our legal advisors about projects on federal lands, and we have landed on a policy position that that our county regulations don't apply to the federal government, but that there can be, depending on the project, there can be application of county regulations to private projects that are within federal land, depending on what the nature of the underlying land is, whether it's an easement or that. And so it's really a case-by-case basis. And so there's no one blanket answer that we could put in the code that says federal lands, you'd never have to have it, because it depends on the circumstances related to the project. It generally speaking, it doesn't apply on federal lands, but there are circumstances where it could.
Well, there's the federal lands, but then there's the city-owned lands. And I know that the city water utility is located up on one of those chunks.
That so, is
in the checkerboard, and I know that they were given an exemption, but it's not really clearly stated within the code that that kind of design review shouldn't apply.
I'd have to get... To give a definitive answer on that, I'd have to get legal review on it. But my sense is, if just because the city owns property within the county, if they're within the design review district, overlay district, they would be subject to the requirements. If it's been incorporated as part of the city limits, then it wouldn't be. It would be considered city. Not just city ownership, but city within the city limits.
Right. So the city limits don't stretch out there, but the water intake unit is up there and the water plant is up there, and it does fall within one of the checkerboard spaces that is under the design review compliance. And that was always the question of, does a public utility, since it's not a private residence, does it fall, and does it have to follow some type of design guideline?
Well, my understanding is, from when I worked on the ICICL work group, is that utilities are not necessarily exempt just because they're a public utility. It really comes down to what the use is. So like the irrigation diversion we were dealing with, where IPID was trying to put in the new diversion, and the type of infrastructure they were proposing was not a categorical exemption within the ICICL overlay district, but a dairy, you could go to the same spot and put in a dairy, but we were being told that, assuming you can meet all the other requirements, I'm just saying purposes of this overlay district, but that the utilities would still require compliance with the overlay district. So you could have a use that would be permitted under the district as a categorical exemption, but the utilities to provide the power to it would still be subject to the design review. So I think we've got a couple of different issues here. I mean, we're dealing with the issue of the language that we've got with the design review board that doesn't exist. And then there's just the overall structure of the code for a future conversation as to whether we maybe need to revisit this issue and look at some possible changes in it that reflect today's reality versus the 80s when the code was adopted.
Okay.
This is Vicki. I have a couple comments. As far as that goes, let me start over. Let me point to item G under item number 2 on page 3. I've come up with different language on that in conformance with the ICICL design review guidelines shall be placed. And then that way you're referencing that document rather than who put the document together.
Could I actually make a kind of a friendly amendment to that, Vicki? Can't we just define the design review board to be essentially what it basically is, the director, the approving director, or the county review official? Just define that to be that, and then the language there and all of the existing language where it is referenced, there won't be ambiguity as to who it really is.
But this isn't about who, this is about the design.
No, I'm talking specifically about the language where we see design review board.
Mm-hmm.
We can define that at the beginning to be essentially the approving director or county review official.
Well, that probably needs to be defined anyway, because if I understand what staff is saying, is that they've been doing the function of the design review board since 2010. And maybe that should be, or whenever, and that shouldn't that be said in this code?
Yeah, that would be at 1172.020 was where it existed as to what it was. And so if you just replace 1172.020 to say the design review board is in fact the director or the county official approving permit.
Yeah.
And then that'll take care of essentially everything.
Commissioners, if I may, the staff isn't serving as the board. It's simply we're applying adopted design guidelines. And to Commissioner Walensky's point, you could certainly recommend in the design guidelines that they don't need to reference an actual design review board anymore. We just wanted you to see what the original design guidelines looked like, and we can certainly retype these. And, you know, if you want to propose that type of edit, but we're not really serving as a board. The board was a very specific body that was appointed by the county commissioners. So I just caution you that that might confuse matters.
Now I am a little confused, Catherine. I'm sorry. But I thought you were still going to apply these guidelines that are attached, only yeah. Now it's not the board, but it's basically just at done right at the moment by the director or the county official.
Mr. Chair and commissioners, the application review, most of the projects require a conditional use permit. So they have to apply, staff will review it. We will ask the applicant to demonstrate how they've complied with the guidelines. We will evaluate that, then we'll provide a recommendation to the hearing examiner who makes decisions on conditional use permits. So you're correct. That is essentially how the process will work and does work today.
At this point, let me ask an administrative question. Is there anything else that we need to cover as far as the hearing is concerned, or can we close the hearing and then move on to the current discussion which we're having?
Mr. Chairman, I would just advise that you ask one more time if there's anyone from the public who would like to comment.
I would like to know that.
In the list of participants, and I do not have anybody waiting in the waiting room. Thank you.
Okay, and then at this time, I will close the hearing on this text amendment, and we will continue with discussions on it. And then we can make motions if we so choose. Is there any other discussion or continue? I have a few questions still.
So we really aren't talking about a design review board. It's referred to as a design review committee.
Correct.
And I don't think that there's any disagreement with what's being done. And I would just ask that we go ahead and clean up the language in the typed amendment or appendix that we have. Like, for instance, it requires changes to roads be approved by the design review committee.
Yeah.
And just clean that kind of stuff up. And then I think we're there.
Yep.
I do have a couple other questions though that to me are confusing and may need to be cleaned up. In 11.72.040, paragraph 2, it says permitted uses. If I read that correctly, forestry uses are not permitted.
No, those are permitted uses. Oh, except the following.
Except the following, agriculture and forestry uses. But then later we talk about timber harvesting. Additionally, agricultural uses are not permitted, But by definition in the code, raising livestock is agricultural uses. And we talk later in this code about pens for livestock. So I'm a little confused. It says all livestock enclosures on 070 item 3. So I'm not sure what's really allowed.
I think if you go back to the language that is in that 11.72.040, what they're saying is that with the overlay district, uses are permitted as conditional uses as outlined in section, except agriculture doesn't have to have a conditional use permit, and nor does forestry.
That's how I saw that too.
Okay.
Except for they don't need to be essentially permitted.
They don't need a CUP.
Correct, commissioners. They are permitted by right. They don't require an additional conditional use process.
Okay. All right. In 060 is a reference to accessory uses. Is that just like standard language? Because I didn't see anything discussing accessories.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. An accessory use might be a detached garage, for example, or a something that it would fall under a residential use, but it might be something that's accessory to the main structure.
Okay. On 080, there's a reference to 030, which you've taken away and doesn't really exist, I guess.
So we need to strike that section.
I guess I have something.
Good point.
I think it's just referring to the guidelines because they are striking the in the review of land use permits. They're just striking the it refers to the guidelines.
Do we know how many residences are in these yellow sections?
Not offhand, no.
It's certainly a rural developed area.
Yes.
The last question I have was this noticed like most everything else that the public had an opportunity to comment if they wanted to?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We did provide a public hearing notice for this Planning Commission meeting that listed that this would be the item of discussion.
Okay.
And so that was posted in the newspaper, and your materials, as usual, are posted on the Planning Commission website so that someone can access the attachments that you're reviewing. We also provide a 60-day notice through the Department of Commerce, so it's been uploaded to their website so that all the state agencies can also comment.
I saw that.
We will do a public hearing notice for the Board of County Commission meeting that will follow after your recommendation.
And we have an email box now that's dedicated for when we have issues in front of the Planning Commission, called cd.comment, based on our experience with the STR comment email box. And that's prominently displayed on your Planning Commission homepage, that anytime we have an issue that's before the Planning Commission, that's the box or the mail address to respond to. And we receive no comments to either one of those locations.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I see in the recommended motion, it talks about, as we've discussed, the removal of the committee reference, but it says add existing design guidelines. What are we adding?
Mr. Chairman and Commissioner England, we're adding that Appendix B that has these typewritten guidelines along with their
but you're moving it out of the code and putting it into this as an appendix.
it's not anywhere in the code today. So we're taking those guidelines and putting them into an appendix in the code. Okay. So this, when we reference in the zoning section, it will reference this appendix B, which will be at the end of the zoning section of the Chelan County Code, just to make it more convenient for our customers.
Well, not to beat the horse any further, but it seems to me if the guidelines are not in the code and we're going to put it in the code, why didn't we redo them to reflect the recommendations from Joel and others?
Mr. Chairman and commissioners, the guidelines were adopted by resolution, so they are an official document. Again, it was just out of a matter of providing them a location that our development community would look for them. And we do, you know, the topic of the allowed uses in the icicle area would, as Mr. Brown has alluded to, would be a little more extensive process, but we want to make sure that we can move projects along today by dealing with some of this obsolete language.
And I guess as long as you understand that we would like the language in that appendix referring to the committee removed, I think that the suggested motion can be used to cover it because it says guidelines to appendix B and remove committee reference. And so that removal of the committee reference can also refer to the appendix as well as the document itself.
And Mr. Chairman and commissioners, you may just want to add that to whatever motion you might consider.
Is there an Appendix A?
Appendix A in the zoning code today is some graphics that we use to explain provisions.
Okay. I was trying to get there, but I couldn't make things work.
Mr. Chairman, I would move to recommend approval of the Icicle Valley Design Review Overlay Text Amendment to add existing design guidelines to Appendix B and remove committee references both in the appendix and the amendment, given file number ZTA 21-196, based upon the findings of fact and conclusion of law contained with the May 26, 2021 staff report.
I'll second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. How would we like to handle taking out the reference to 030 in 080? Shall we amend that motion to add either changing that or removing that?
Isn't that included in the motion?
I didn't think so. Doug, maybe you can tell me, did you expect that to be done with your motion?
Yes, and I may not have worded that. I don't know what wording it would take to do that.
Yeah. And apply cleanup language to make it consistent?
Well, apply cleanup language to paragraph 080.
I would accept that as part of my motion if Joel will accept that as a second.
Accepted.
Okay, is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, we shall vote on the motion as stated by Commissioner England and Commissioner Walensky second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. All righty.
Thank you.
Do we have any other new business that?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, go ahead.
This is not on your agenda, but I'm just flagging it for you as there's kind of this rolling opening up of government and changing information that's coming from CDC and translating into different direction from the governor's office, we need to start thinking about what it looks like with the Planning Commission moving forward as far as our meeting process. Whether we go back to fully only on site face-to-face meetings, or whether we have a hybrid now that we've experienced this process, I don't know. And there's currently remodeling that's still going on at the commissioner's office where we used to use a meeting room over there. So we will be able to use that again soon, but we don't know when that remodeling, which is behind, will be finished. We think sometime in June. But I'm just flagging this for you. We're going to need to have a conversation fairly soon. Catherine and I will be discussing between each other, but also with the Board of Commissioners and probably the county executive about what guidance they're going to provide us or the expectations of the board. And I'll be coming back to you to have further discussion. But I wanted you to be thinking about that because things are obviously opening back up.
Thank you, Jim. That was one of the questions that I had at the end. I suppose we may come to a point where the governor might proclaim we cannot have our meetings on Zoom anymore. Who knows? And then there won't be a question about it. Is there any other new business? If not, I will I just take a few minutes of your time and give you a little bit of an update. And Jim, I'm going to ask you some questions here. First of all, he has provided the task force report to the Board of Commissioners. They have it and they're chewing on this. I do not remember when they said they would take it up again. Jim, do you remember when that was?
It is Tuesday, June 1st. It's the first workshop. We anticipate at least two, probably three workshops, and there would be a hearing by the end of the month, no later than, there's five Tuesdays in June. So no later than the last Tuesday of June would there be a public hearing on it with anticipation of taking action in early July.
Okay then. And then could you give us a quick update as you gave the board on code enforcement and your department update?
I will, but if I forget something or I forget a subject, please prompt me on it because I don't remember exactly.
I know.
I tend to put those down as notes and then just go off the top of my head. With regard to code enforcement, we now have two code enforcement officers. One is former Wenatchee PD, retired Tim Licken, a longtime police officer and detective with the city. And then former, now retired trooper, Bruce Anderson, who lives in the Manson area. And he and Tim are the new code enforcement officers. There was not a training program in place. In fact, we didn't even have training protocols at all for code enforcement, even for our existing. So I built a code enforcement training program, got the buy-in from the sheriff's office, and we've been spending the last few weeks, Wednesdays and Thursday mornings, going through everything from code to civil procedure to all sorts of things. And their last day of training is tomorrow. But that said, because they're longtime law enforcement officers, they have a lot of experience and they picked up on this stuff really quick. So I've actually got them out doing code enforcement right now. They are not dispatched through the sheriff's office, dispatched through Rivercom. The complaints will still continue to come through my department. We are pulling SmartGov case numbers, and we've set up a code enforcement box on our website, an email box, cd.code.enforcement, and the rest of the county address, so that the public can fill out complaint forms and get them direct to a code enforcement box. And then we send them to the first available code enforcement officer. It's gonna be a little clunky at first, but actually surprisingly, it's going pretty well. I've got a meeting with them in their training tomorrow morning to go over some of the code enforcement stuff I've sent them out to work on. Just, I think, kind of a gut check to see where they are with that stuff. I'm not having them resurrect 900 cases that we were backlogged. If we get fresh complaints on pre-existing cases, we're moving forward with them for continued investigation. But I'm not digging up old investigations. That's all they would be doing if I did that. So I've got plenty coming in right now, you know, a couple of complaints a day on average. That's enough to keep them busy because they also do civil paper service. They're driving, you'll see their trucks around now. They're driving Ford F-150s, silver, that in black letters, big letters on the side, say code enforcement, sheriff's office on the side. So they're very noteworthy. They have full police commissions. However, by policy, that's not their responsibility to deal with criminal matters. But if they run into something hot that they need to deal with in the moment, they can at least detain the individuals and call a road deputy or a trooper or whatever they need to take the issue on. So there's no authority issues with them, whatever, but their primary focus is civil code enforcement under our code. So there'll be more coming on that. We have one more position to fill with that. Sheriff's Office has, I think, got a body that they're running through the background and polygraph process. So I would expect to be training another one. Regarding department updates, we're doing pretty good in the planning department. We just promoted Jamie there on the screen to senior planner.
Hey. And,
I know she's excited about it. We're excited about having her in that role. She's going to be taking on some of the bigger projects that we've got in the pipeline, like the orchard conversion, forest conversion to orchard, Wheeler Ridge, and ultimately with Mission Ridge, although Catherine and probably other staff will be involved in pieces of that because that's frankly going to be too big for just one person. We have still missing a plans examiner in building. We've hired a replacement permit tech from Pacific County, a girl who grew up in, was born in the Wenatchee area and has family here. She's moved back and she's our newest permit tech. And then we have another permit tech position we created that is specific for short-term rentals and to handle some of the code enforcement liaison work. And I have a manager position for the entire STR program that was, there was a placeholder in my budget for, and I finished the job description for that this week. HR is reviewing it. And if I get approval, I'll be attempting to recruit for that person to run the entire short-term rental program and oversee it. So the building official is doing great. Chris is hitting the ground running. We're working on electronic plan submission process. We're already doing electronic, permit submission. We're already doing electronic plan submission now where we can. We're finding out that is extremely fast. And we're gonna be following hopefully in the next few months with full-on electronic permit submission. Now, this is not going to be a proprietary software thing. It would be PDFs. So it's a little bit kind of old school, but we believe we're going to be able to speed up process directly. And on the few that we've already done this with, we're finding out that the hangups in public works upstairs, the health district on septic approvals, it's the other entities. It doesn't seem like it's going to be us. So, anyway, those things are all going on. I could probably go on and give you a lot more, but a lot of big positive changes going on in community development. Some of them may take a while for you to see out in the field or actually feel or hear about them. But I think once we get some momentum on some of this stuff, we're no longer just talking about stuff. We're actually putting it into place and acting on it.
Excellent. Good job. I'm really
excited.
Organized.
Sounds good.
Moving ahead. Can I ask a question though on code enforcement? Is it true that they're not going to be working on weekends?
Right now, the way they're set up, they're not working weekends. However, we're working with the sheriff to determine how to respond to short-term rental nuisance complaints, particularly because we already didn't have code enforcement on weekends. I mean, right. Angel and her crew did not work on weekends. So the issue really comes down to how do we respond to short-term rentals, which have weekend and evening issues. And so we're working on some process for that. Former Commissioner England had an idea about a seasonal technician that could kind of rove problem neighborhoods where we knew we had these things and perhaps make contact with owners by phone and let them know they got a problem. We're actually looking at putting something like that into place, but it won't be probably this summer. It's just too big a lift for me to get all this in place right now in the middle of summer. But right. I think that will be something that we're going to look at in the budget for the next year That's another position, a seasonal tech that the new manager would be supervising. So we got to get the infrastructure in place to do that. And working with the sheriff's office on his line deputies being able to respond to an STR noise complaint and take action if appropriate or gather enough information that we can do a solid referral and follow-up investigation on Monday morning.
Cool, thank you.
I have a question. On the, where will they be roving? In other words, I think we know that both Manson and Leavenworth have the highest number of STR rentals. And so they're at opposite extremes. They're 2 hours apart. Where will the trucks be roving most of the time?
Well, right now I've got them just responding to code complaints. So you'll see them anywhere. And they've been working primarily together because they're learning together. I'm using actual simple code enforcement cases or ongoing abatement issues that we've already got started and kind of plugging them into that and letting them work the field a little bit and then come back and we debrief and talk about what they found, what they discovered, what they think the appropriate course of action might be, whether they need to go back and recontact. But as far as roving, I think it'll be anywhere. The goal was that we would hopefully have a code enforcement officer in the, if you take a triangle and lay it on its side and point the tip towards Leavenworth, we would have one at each end of the county, north, south, and one out west. That was the goal. But I know from experience, having been a law enforcement officer, where I had district officers because of vacation, calls they're working on, investigations they got, whatever, my Tenasket officer could be found down at Mansfield in Douglas County, and my Winthrop officer might be up in Chisaw in northeast Okanagan County. It didn't happen a lot, but they needed to have enough understanding of the client base to be able to be anywhere in the county if the need came up.
I have one more question for you, both you and Carl. There were two addendums, I understand, that were actually added to the task force recommendations. What were they?
They were basically items. They were not, they're available on the website, by the way. I haven't posted. So if you go to the documents on the website, you can go to the bottom of all the documents and the task force reports there and the addenda's there. But for shortcut, I created a link. So as soon as you go to the page, they're right at the very top of the STR page. Bold print. And it says here, for this here, for the addenda, click here. And you can read it yourself. They were basically, they added depth to what the report couldn't provide, meaning we're providing code proposals in the task force report. They provided in their addenda some perspectives regarding that and additional items that were not within the charge of what the Board of Commissioners, the seven item subject matter that the board asked the task force to work on. So in other words, we have these other issues we didn't talk about, but we want you to be aware that we still have concerns about these other things that we didn't cover in the task force. So that's the best way I can describe those in a nutshell.
Wasn't there something that basically Manson was now allowed to have 11% versus the countywide, something like that?
That's in the task force report that the Manson UGA provides for a 9% cap. But there's some other trade-offs that were done in order to get that 9% cap. So I'm working on the draft code right now. I sent it back to Lisa at Burke. It's gone back and forth a couple of times. I found a few things she missed. I'm trying to take out some of the old language that was in there that we have done away with because it's replaced by task force code. And so I apologize if I'm stammering. It's been a long day. Probably all of you too, so I get it. Anyway, I'm going to be getting that to the county commissioners by midday tomorrow, and then they can chew on it over the weekend. We'll have the workshop, and literally when we start the workshop, I will put it on the website at that point. I just don't want to get folks all spun up on pro, against, for, whatever, until the board's had a chance to see the draft code and we open written commenting, which they'll have to give me instructions to do.
Okay, very good, thank you.
Excellent, thank you very much, Jim. And then just a couple other things that the Board of Commissioners have looked at and helped me out where I missed something, Jim. The critical areas ordinance has gone to the county commissioners. They passed it, right? That's what I thought. They passed it. And then they had their workshop on the shoreline master program, SMP, and then they had their first hearing yesterday, and the hearing will be continued. I think not next Tuesday, but the following Tuesday, if I remember correctly.
Correct.
So they're still in a hearing on that.
Yes. There's been no decision made on the draft code. Right. They were apprised of obviously of the version that came from you, with the you know, keeping the language in and that whole discussion. So that's in front of them, and they're discussing where they want to go with that. But there's been no action taken yet.
And if anyone asks you, comments are still open until Friday.
Right.
At 5 o'clock, I think, or whatever
right. time. Those comments are being collected by our consultant on their website. When you go to our website, the very first thing at the top of the page, there's a scrolling banner of like four topics. The first topic that's there when you come up is the SMP. When you click the box for more information, it takes you directly to that website, which the like the third or fourth box to the right is the to provide comments. So I tried to make it as easy as I can, but still put it in our consultants, you know, it's in their workflow that this is supposed to be them collecting and coalescing these comments.
Excellent. All right. Does anybody have any other comments before we close the meeting? The next meeting will be June 23rd at 7 o'clock.
Carl, I just want to comment on the fact that I really appreciate that you're following up on these things that have gone through us. It helps us to stay informed, and it also helps us to have ownership in it. So anyway, thank you for bringing all of that up.
Certainly. I will entertain a motion to adjourn this meeting if there's no other comments.
So moved.
I move that we adjourn the meeting.
Well, we've got two motions and no second, but Ryan, you seconded. I saw you do it.
Okay, it's fine.
Okay, we have a motion to adjourn. Ryan seconded. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everyone, for your participation. Thank you, staff.
Thank you, and thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good night.